Good morning, and thank you. Our singing team, thank you guys this morning for leading the music. And I don't say that enough, but thank you. I want to remind you that God loves people. He does. God loves people. God loves people. We see that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only son. That whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we know that God loves people. But that does not, even though we know God loves people, it does not give us the right to live any way we want to live. Amen? Come on now. This is what's going on in the world right now. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Probably no more place that that's happening than in America, and everybody follows leadership. So America is the leading country in the world, and it seems like right now people are following foolishness in the most part. But I want to share with you that God is a God of second chances and that God loves people. God loves people. God loves you. Now, I'm going to look in the book of Jonah, and I want to be in chapter 3 today because I want to share with you how this kind of, how God's working in this and some other things as well. We know that God called Jonah to do something, and he ran away. God found him, threw him in the fish, and he was vomited out after he prayed and repented. Chapter 3, in verse 1, says, Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, which means God is giving him another chance, another shot at another shot. Now, how many of you today in your walk with the Lord have been given another chance? Okay. How many of you have been given a third chance? How many of you have been given more chances than you got fingers and toes? All of us. Now, I will tell you this, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than anything on the face of the earth. If you have him with you, then you ought to have more victories than you ought to have defeats. Amen? Amen. Don't listen to the lies of the dark side. So we know that God has called, given Jonah a second chance. But here he comes to this place here in chapter 3, verse 2. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Now, here's the thing. He was told in the beginning of chapter 1 to go to Nineveh. And here it is. The mission, it didn't change. It didn't change. He got a second chance to do it. But the mission didn't change. The mission didn't change. I want to share something with you really quick. I could do it by memory, but I don't want to botch it up. Jesus gave a mission to the apostles and all the disciples right before he ascended into heaven. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's the last thing that Jesus told them before he ascended, all that good stuff. The mission didn't change. That's what we're doing today. Sharing the gospel, making disciples, baptizing, and doing all that stuff. The mission didn't change. The mission didn't change for Jonah. Jonah is going to go to a city. He's going to go to this city. He says in verse 3, Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. 3 days to work through this city. Now, how big is this city? Well, in verse 11 of chapter 4, it tells us 120,000 people. That's a big city then. That's a big city today. You can take a Fort Wayne and kind of cut it into three pies, and one of those pies is probably the size of Nineveh. Okay? He was called to go to Nineveh to tell them to repent. It didn't mean that God didn't love them, but God loved them, but their sins come up. We're going to talk about that for a minute, in a minute. But God loves the people of Nineveh. He wasn't going there because he didn't love them. He was going there because he did love God, loves people. When you are living and you got a lifestyle that's a sinful lifestyle, and so God uses someone to speak into your life, they do it in love, or you hear a message, or you hear something in song, you hear whatever it is. I want to tell you that it isn't that God doesn't love you, but that he's convicting your spirit that something is wrong in your life. How many of you know what the conviction of the Holy Spirit feels like? Amen. Amen. If you are a believer, you need to know what the conviction of the Holy Spirit feels like. If you do not know what the conviction of the Holy Spirit feels like, and you say you're a believer, I would take a step back and see if you really are and examine your true identity with God through Christ. Because the Holy Spirit convicts. It's a three-day journey. Jonah's got a second opportunity to go through Nineveh. We've been here 19 years. Just let that sink in for a minute. We've been here 19 years. We'll get back to that. And he says in verse 4, "And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out, and he said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" He's talking about the sin. Your sin has come up to God. And God wants to deal with it. He's going to have to deal with it. And God says it's going to be overthrown. It's going to be destroyed. Y'all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities that were destroyed because of their sin. Didn't mean God didn't love them. But their sin was so abundant that God dealt with it. Here it is. God wants to give Nineveh an opportunity, a so-called second chance. I'm going to give a warning. You see, sometimes I think I've been seeing this more and more. We need to be more outspoken, not in an angry way, not in a hateful way, but we need to speak truth. If we know truth, we ought to speak it. If we believe in the truth, we believe what we're doing is truth, we need to speak it. Not let people just plow over us. Listen, there are wrongs and rights. Now, sometimes the world has a lot of rights they believe in, but it goes against God's word, and to him and the word of God says it's a lot. That's wrong. And we're caught in the middle trying to live a life that God's called us to live, so we need to be leaning and moving toward the things of God in his way, and we need to speak out in love. Listen, in love. Too much anger out there. You don't get anywhere beating somebody's head down. I'm telling you that right now. What's the Bible say? Love covers a multitude of sin. There's a time to stand up and be strong in certain ways. But God is choosing the message here saying you need to repent. The city's going to be overthrown in 40 days. You're in trouble. Then the word came to the king. So here it is. So verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. What? They believed God. Let me tell you right there. Well, let me finish. They proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Jonah spoke a message. He didn't want to be there. He's angry about the whole thing. God still used him. God's going to teach him a lesson a little bit later. But I want to tell you, what God does is always bigger than we are. Jonah never wanted to even go there. I'll be honest, I never wanted to come here. To Huntington. I'll say it like this. We were driving the very first time in Huntington. As being part of New Life, we were here before. We were here at another church. But when we came in to start the first time at New Life, Carla was in passenger side and she says, "Honey, are you sure?" Are you sure we're going here? Because there's a dark cloud over the city. She's not the only one that has said that. There's a couple of pastors here in town that have professed that same thing. But darkness should not stop the light of the gospel. How many of you remember being on State Street, and we're going way back, on State Street, with Ron Fullerton, and we had that revival. We were downstairs, Ron Fullerton, and he was from San Francisco, pastor from San Francisco. He preached on Moses the whole time. He said something that was very prevalent to me. Beyond all of his messages, it was just there at the restaurant we were eating. He liked it. He liked to eat. He has passed away a couple years ago. But he had said, I asked him, I said, why are you in San Francisco? Why would you ever live in San Francisco? And he said, what a better place to let the light shine in one of the most darkest places in America. And it hit me. I was like, wow, that was so prevalent that God used that man to say something that I needed to hear. In the very beginning of the years, very, very first 3 years of our ministry here. What better place to be? That if you have the light of the gospel, to shine it in a place of darkness. Nineveh is going to a basement with no windows. He's going into the darkest places. That's where Jonah's going, into Nineveh. And that bright light that he brought into Nineveh was so strong, and it wasn't that Jonah had an attitude, but that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, is so bright that it can penetrate even the darkest of places. And it needs to. And these people, listen, here's the thing. People say, we haven't knocked on doors in a while, but I think we're going to be getting there soon again. People say knocking on doors does not work anymore. Okay. Oh, concert cookouts really don't work anymore. Block parties don't work anymore. Well, why do we do those things? We do those things because collectively we can bring a large crowd together, try to do some awareness, share the gospel with a few here and there. But the key is you're not going to grow a church. You're not going to pierce the total darkness with just that. It's got to be, listen to me, it's got to be you talking to you, the people that you are around, piercing the darkness with the light of the gospel. Don't leave it up to the church to do what we're supposed to do individually. Listen, God sent Jonah one man. He sent one man. And he affected the whole community. How much did he affect it? Looking down here. Verse 6. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh and arose from his throne and laid aside his robe. The king laid aside his robe. You know what that is? That's humbleness. That's humbleness. He covered himself with sackcloth and he sat in ashes. Kings don't do that. But this king did. And then he declared a fast. Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way. He even calls out the sin. I wish our people, our leaders in our country would call out the sin. Our political people. But they don't know. Most of them are lost. It is the preachers who've got to do it, and many of them are not even preaching the gospel anymore. And also, preachers are supposed to share and lead and teach, disciple the church to go out and share the gospel. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, and it may shock you for a moment, but I'm going to explain it. I have led more people to the Lord before I became a pastor than I've become a pastor. Now, why is that? If you exclude the altar, I've led a lot of people to the altar here, okay? But that wasn't my, that's the Lord. I'm just saying out there, here I'm preaching. When I was working in landscaping, I was out playing, whatever I was, all my stuff I was doing, I led a lot. I have a Bible that if I ever got depressed, I can go back and look at that Bible and say, listen, the gospel is amazing. I have a lot of names written on the back of that old New NIV 1978 Bible. Led a lot of people to the Lord there. Not bragging, just saying it was awesome. But my job is different now. I'm still to share the gospel, but I'm to teach you how to share the gospel, to encourage you to go out and share it. So when they come in, I can disciple them and we can work with them to teach them how to be baptized. And will I go out and share the gospel? Yes, but my time is more spent in the house, more spent into the ministries. Does that make sense? And with all I said, all salvations are God's glory. Amen. Not anything that I've done. It's just the accessibility where I'm at. I was more out. I wasn't here as much. I was working my job, and I was with other people, and I was always sharing with clients the gospel, praying with them all the time. And the workers. I see more of you than I see anybody out there right now. So the job is you. You are the Jonah. Okay? And so the king turns around and he takes off everything that he ate, takes his robe off, and he goes into ashes and declares a fast. He declares a fast. Verse 10 says, then God saw their works. Then God saw their works. We're going to stop there and not finish 10 yet. Then God saw their works. Here's the problem with us sharing the gospel. You don't believe people can change anymore. You don't believe that people will come to Jesus. You think that because they live this way for so long, because they've always lived this way or done this, that you don't believe they're going to get and have salvation in Christ. You don't think they're going to change. This story tells us that a whole city of lost evil people, so vile that God was going to destroy it, they can change. It took me a long time to understand that change can happen in Huntington. Because all I kept seeing was the evilness and the darkness. Oh, it's still here. It's still prevalent. You that have discernment know that it's still prevalent. God saw their works, that they shut that stuff down. They got serious. They humbled themselves from the bottom to the cows and the cattle all the way to the king. Everything, everybody was fasting. We call a fast a new life, and we can't get 50% to fast, which we're going to talk about in a second. I'm telling you, I have preached through Jonah and taught through Jonah so many times that God shows new directions through the same scripture. That's how powerful the scriptures are. But they did change. So we have to believe. I think, number one, we have to believe that God can work on people, the Holy Spirit can work on people, and Jesus still changes lives. I'm still praying in my time. I'm still praying for some political people that I know by how they speak, how they talk, they are lost and they need Jesus. Because I believe that God and Christ can still save that person. If you know anything about Paul, before his name was Saul, and that came a lot of hatred and anger, bitterness and pridefulness and everything. And God saved him as he was getting ready to do some more damage to the believers. And God saved him on the Damascus Road. I believe every one of us that are Christians today have had a Damascus Road. Some of us are yet to have that, that are here today. Because believe me this, there are lost people in this room today. He said, then I saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways And God relented. God relented. He pulled his hand back. He did not destroy. God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Isn't that amazing? People can change. What made the change happen? The message of God. And the message of God today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are lost in your sin if you don't know Jesus Christ. There is a hell, whether science wants to say there is or not, whether anybody wants to say there's not. Yes, no, oh, I'm not sure, whatever. I'm telling you, your opinion doesn't matter to God. God has set things into place. There is a hell. H-E-double-L, there is a hell, is a place of gnashing and tormenting. Oh, it's just a place you don't want to go. Now, if you don't want to go there, I'm not going there because I've taken the promise of God through Jesus Christ to have salvation. Guaranteed to me, sealed to the day of redemption, as Ephesians says. No one can pluck me out of God's hand. There's all kinds of things. He that has a son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. And if I know that I have that, and I've been redeemed, I have that second chance, and I received that, and I know that I'm a citizen, I'm a family of God. God has got his hand on me. Nobody can touch me unless God allows it. And nothing can happen. I can be foolish, and I can reap the consequences of my stupidity and sinful decisions and choices, but God still has me. I can be an obedient child, or I can be a disobedient child, or I can be a child that stays close to the home or close to God, or I can be a rebellious and I can be a prodigal child, but I'm still a child of God. And if I have all that protection and I have the power, why am I not sharing that with other people? Do not get caught up in the ministries to a place where you think that is giving us glory stripes in heaven. We're just being obedient, doing what God's called us to do. Ministries and this church building don't save anyone. It is the power and the blood of Jesus Christ who saves a soul. But that soul, that person must want it and receive it. Or the gift, if the gift is not taken and not received it. But God offers it through Christ. God doesn't want anyone going to hell. He loves all people. But that doesn't mean that we get to live the way that we want. But these people chose to change. I love this story. People chose to change. It gives you hope that when you're sharing the gospel, people can change. And these people changed. And they put their, not just their words, but they put their words into action. And God saw it. And he relented. Wow. How many times do you think God relented on disciplining you? Quit thinking so much and listen to the Holy Spirit. Your mind will garble your head up, I'm telling you. When you're praying, start just listening some. When you pray, pick up the Bible and pray as you read a verse or two. God will speak. And God relented. Now, we made a commitment in January. Did you all know that? We made a commitment. You were here that we made a commitment in January. Every year we do a prayer and a fasting time. Sometimes we did a 21-day Daniel fast. Not very fond of those, but we've done a 7-day fast. We've done a 3-day fast. We've done a 5-day fast. We've done a 1-day fast. Like one Monday every Monday in January. We've kind of mixed them all around. I think earlier this year in January, we did a 3-day fast. 6 p.m. on Monday to 6 p.m. on Wednesday. And we had message about it. We fasted. And we fasted for the very, very first time. We asked God for some things. You see, in 2018, we asked God not to give us a visitor for 6 months. And he did not give us a visitor for 6 months. January to the first week of June, we did not have a visitor one. But the very next Sunday, somebody came in and we had a visitor. God's just showing that he was watching the prayer and fasting. We ask God after that to work on us with our leadership and the discipleship that we need to grow spiritually. We've been working on that. 2019 came. We asked God to bring in three couples. Three couples. This church needed more couples. We had a lot of love, single people. But we needed three couples. And we needed three couples, and we prayed and fasted. And that there was a five-day fast. That was a five-day fast. 2 months into it, we lost Dan and Dee. Boom. Now we needed four. And we wanted a disciple leader. You know, we got all four of those. We got the three that we asked for. We got the one with the disciple, with Pastor Pat, or Pastor Phil and Pat Jones, which are in Michigan for the next 2 weeks. And then, so he became our discipleship pastor here. And we picked up not only the three we asked for, but we picked up the one that we lost. We got four couples that year. You guys were one of them. Brian and Kelly were one of them. Larry and Jessica were one of them. They're not here today because I'm going to tell on them. Larry, Jessica locked herself out of the house and Larry had to go back and let her in. Anyway, so they had some mishaps. Anyway, so we prayed about that and God answered that. I'm like, wow, God takes this prayer fasting thing serious. So this year, we prayed that God would do these three things. One, that we would have leadership growth. We're working on our leadership. Our young leaders are growing. Can we hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Our leaders are growing. Number two, we asked for baptismal growth. Salvation, baptismal growth. And we took out this thing we were going to do called, Who Is Your One? And for salvations, before COVID hit, salvations, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 salvations, or 5 salvations and 4 baptisms. That's pretty good. Yeah. COVID hit, we went down to nothing. We're still at nothing. Let me come back to that. The third piece is financial growth. The financial growth, we were struggling. We've been struggling for like 7. We struggled all the time. But God, yes. But God kept working it. We would work on shoestring budgets. There have been times I had to come in here and pray, and nobody was here when it was just me. And I'd come in and pray, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then I remember one time, it's like, Lord, the ministries don't have any money. We're broke. I went outside and a car pulls up and said, hey, Pastor, I got a gift for you for the church. And look at it, it was $2,000. That was stuff that goes on around here. It's like, thank you, Lord. Believe me when I say this, there are churches that have a whole lot more money than we have, but it has nothing to do with the amount. It just has something to do with how God answers prayer and fasting. Right now, our ministries have never had this type of money during the summer and the type of money that we have now. I think right now we have like $19,000 in the ministry. Now, I will tell you, with the Women and Children's House adding that has come up. Everything goes up a little bit. But that's not the one that's really like, that gets me excited, but it's the church. It's the church finances. You see, when it comes to ministry, you can reach out and fish and pray and send out letters and do fundraisers and God blesses those and the funds come in. And God has been amazing. I'm so thankful for it. But it's what's going on in the church that has really just been amazing. Our church has always been around this $1,000 to maybe $2,500 in the account on a regular basis. Some of you have more of that in your own savings account. This year, I wanted to give you a number because I looked at them last night. As of last night, we had like $11,000. Church account. Can I tell you what happened during COVID? We had people from different states sending money. And I'd have to call them, or I'd have Ben call them, or find out. Did you want this? People inform me. Did you want this to go to the ministries? No. I wanted to go to the church. The finances in the church, even in here, has risen. It doesn't mean we have this golden calf or anything like that. What it means is we prayed and fasted. And I share this with other pastor peers of mine across the country, and they ask, what is it? What's happening there? Because our numbers are increasing. Not only were we asking for baptismal numbers, but our numbers in attendance are increasing. We're better now than we were last summer. You don't see everybody, but we got another 10 or so people up there. So if we prayed and we fasted that God would strengthen our leadership and our finances would grow and our baptisms would grow, He's doing His part. And He always does it more than what you ask. Amen? But our chart has went stagnant because now I'm trying to encourage you today to get back into sharing the gospel. Speak the truth. Be the Jonah of Huntington. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Chapter 4, I want to go through this real quick. Chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. He saw the change, and he got angry about it. Now, if that was my attitude, you probably want to get rid of me. We're growing too much. We're changing too much for God, right? He got upset about it. What he said? He said, we prayed to the Lord. He's talking to God about why he's so angry. Why do you think he's angry? Let's check it out. It says, oh, Lord, was it not this what I said when I was still in my country? He wants to go back in the past. Let me tell you, you don't need to go back in the past. If somebody needs to be brought from the past, let God bring it up. He's bringing back to the past. God, you knew we had an argument back there. He said this. What did he say? He said, therefore, I fled preciously to Tarshish. He reminds them, remember, I left, I didn't even listen to you. I went to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God. I know. You don't want to get upset because somebody got saved. You ought to be excited that somebody changed their ways. Amen? He says, you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. And then he goes on, he says, just take my life. Now there's no message. There's another whole message in him, in here with God, with him. And God's going to work him over a little bit. But that's not the message. The message is about Nineveh and Jonah. Jonah preaching the gospel, that the message needed to go there. And Jonah was the man that God chose. Now listen, when God chooses you to speak to somebody about the gospel, he didn't make a mistake if they say no. You are not the person who says it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. You are just supposed to be obedient and share the gospel. And the hardest people to share the gospel with is your family. Because they see your weaknesses, they see you and your good days and your bad days. But so what? They need saved. They need that. You pray and ask for opportunities. Sometimes you have to be like Jonah. You got to be wide open. You just got to say it. Other times you got to step back and listen and be a listener and a good listener and a good listener and wait for the Holy Spirit. It took me 7 weeks before I shared the gospel with Larry before he came to Christ. 7 weeks. Some pastor told me this. Man, why didn't you do it the first day? Listen, Holy Spirit told me not to. He wasn't ready. He needed to talk and I needed to listen. I was gaining his trust. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. 7 weeks. And the Lord hit me that one. Share the gospel today. Share the gospel. And Jessica was a couple weeks later. People can change. And when God, people do change. God loves people. God loves you. God's a God of second and third chances. Gracious and merciful God. He's a God of slow to anger. God is abundant in loving kindness, which is tenderness. God holds back harm. God loves you enough to send Jesus to save you from yourself, to save you from hell, to redeem you from a life that is broken and lost, and lift you up. God is a God of second chances. You have an opportunity today to get a second chance. Some of you are lost, and you know it. Don't play around with the Lord. You only have the moments that you have here. You have no promise of the rest of the day, and you have definitely no promise of tomorrow. Second chance. Today's your second chance to get right with God, but you only can do that through Christ for salvation. Some of you need a second chance in your Christianity. You keep blowing it. Listen, you're going to keep blowing it until you allow the Lord to work through you. Allow the Lord to shut your mouth and close your eyes to things you shouldn't see and work on that attitude. God will fix that and give you an opportunity, but it all comes with, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. It's 1 John 1:9. And God gives us a second chance in ministry. Amen. Amen. Jonah got a second chance in ministry. Jonah's mentioned also in, I think it's 1st or 2nd Kings, I can't remember. Jonah's mentioned prior to this. Probably just thinks Jonah's in the small. He's mentioned prior to this on some other stuff. Not a lot, but just enough that we know it's the same. It's the same Jonah. But a second chance in ministry. Man, if so many times I felt like I blew it, and I think we as a church blew it. We blew it in the beginning of our ministry of the church, and there's times we blew it at the soup kitchen, and there's times we blew it at the women's life house. We blew it, but listen, God's about the big picture. You blow it, you confess, you get right with God and get back up in it and get going. God chose you for a day such as this to do what He's called you to do. We got to be strong in the Lord, amen? And His mighty power. Remember, the battle's not ours, it is the Lord's. Attitude. How we live our life. God is watching. But no matter what you do, God still loves you. But God's love is not getting you into heaven if you don't choose His way. And that comes through salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe God is still answering our prayer and fasting from January. But I believe we're not doing our part. See, I told you about the red names. I told you about the blue names. But the black names are you that committed that you are going to share the gospel with somebody. Uh-oh. And there's a lot of them. Some of them are so messed up I can't even read your writing. Doesn't matter. Know why? Because God saw it. He knows who wrote that. He knows your signature. Let me give you a word of warning. If you live in the past, you'll stay in the past. And most of our past is not that good. If you want to get into the future, you got to let God be God in your life. Amen? Let's give you an opportunity. Let's go ahead and stand.